excited for the word tonight. Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. And this message I just felt was suitable to go with what we covered this morning about God putting us into an accelerated training mode. I want the glory. And I want to learn whatever lessons I've got to do to learn it. Did you ever go to some kind of class or somebody teach you something you really wanted to learn and how you really applied yourself to it? Maybe one or two of you, right? There was something, let's say not school, but something you wanted to learn. Maybe it's to cook something or to build something or whatever. And you really were attentive and you did everything you could to learn that trade or that activity. Amen. And you were all in for it. And God wants us to learn how to go into the glory. He's looking for people that are sold out for it versus that are just, you know, haphazard about their focus on the things of the kingdom of God. Genesis chapter 22, we have an interesting occurrence. It says in verse 1, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now here Abraham's been believing for this child for 25 years since he got the initial word from God. 25 years he has this child. It's believed here Isaac is around 14, 15 years old. So, you know, we're talking about 40 years now put together since the promise came. And God says, I want you to sacrifice him. Now the question always arises, why did God have Abraham offer up Isaac as a sacrifice? We understand initially that he is a type of Christ, right? The Father offering the Son as a sacrifice, right? And for sin. And so the Scripture makes it clear that Isaac is a representation of the cross, a representation, this offering of Isaac, a representation of Jesus. But again, why would God do it in this fashion? Why would God have Abraham offer Isaac? Now, we've mentioned this before, but it says in verse 1, and it came to pass afterward, after these things. Well, if we want to see what the things are, let's back up a few verses. Go to verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord and everlasting God. It says he planted a grove. And he was staying in the land of the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were idol worshippers. And staying among this people, it appears Abraham was starting to take upon himself their practices, their pagan activities. Because throughout Scripture we see that it are the wicked that plant groves. They worship the tree, the avatar tree, and Mother Earth and all this. And Abraham was getting caught up in that. And so God, I believe, comes to him and says, hey, if you want to act like the heathen, let's have you sacrifice a child like the heathen do. Amen. Let's go all the way with it. You're going to act like them. Let's take that route all the way. So he calls him to sacrifice Isaac. Now we know out of Hebrews chapter 11 that it says Abraham was convinced that God would raise Isaac from the dead if he did sacrifice him. Because he had a promise, through Isaac shall your inheritance or all your seed come forth. Right? So we see here that Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac. The reason God had him do it was not because necessarily that he could prove Isaac's or Abraham's love, but to say, you want to act like the wicked? Let's do what the wicked do. But it had a lesson contained in it. And so Abraham's going to sacrifice his son, believing that God would raise him from the dead. But how many know that would be a stretch to have to sacrifice that child that God had given to you? And let me say this right now. God's not telling that anymore to anyone anymore. Amen. We've had people lose it and sacrifice their children saying God told them to do it. God's not telling people to kill their children. As much as you think you want to some days. It's not permitted. God's not behind it. So if we go over to verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It says he stretched forth his hand. So now I want to talk about stretching into the things of God. For Abraham to do this, believing God would raise his child from the dead, how many know that would take all the faith he had? That would stretch your faith. And for us to go into the race that God has for us, how many know the Bible says he's called us to run this race? Amen? Laying aside every weight and the sin which is seized, it'll be said, it says, run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. When you have a race, they have a name for the final part, the final leg of the race. Does anybody know the name of that final part of the race? The home stretch. The stretch. There's the back stretch, you know, other stretch, but at the end, it's the home stretch. And the home stretch is when you let out everything you have to get first to the finish line. You may pace yourself the rest of the race, but the home stretch, you want nothing held back in reserve. And so God is calling us as an end-time church. He's calling his end-time bride to move into the glory with everything they have, and it's going to stretch us. It's going to stretch us. It's going to stretch your faith. It's going to stretch your soul. It's going to stretch your time. It's going to call upon every aspect of your ability to guard and protect and even build the fire of God within you. It's going to stretch you. How many know it was a stretch to first come to this church? My goodness, did you know they have service for 2 hours Sunday morning? Sometimes longer. 2 hours. My church, we met for 30 minutes. And they met for 2 hours. And then had a prayer line. That was a stretch. Some people can't make that stretch. Some people break when they're stretched too far. But God's looking to develop us that He can stretch us for this home stretch to finish this assignment. And the point I want to make is if you're going to go with God where He's going, you've got to be stretchable. Remember we spoke about this morning about the new wineskins had to be pliable. You've got to be able to take the new context and stretch with it. Well, God doesn't want to just fill us. He wants to overfill us. The glory, I believe, is the love of God that comes on us so powerfully that it overfills us and spills out as the glory. And so He's going to take us through this stretching process. And you got to be willing to say, God, whatever you want to do, do it in my life. That's what happened to me years ago when He told me I was going to pioneer the river of God. He made me that offer. And I knew it was going to stretch me. Have you stretched yourself into the things of the kingdom before? Most likely. If you've ever fasted more than 3 days, you've stretched. Right? If you ever prayed in tongues more than an hour, you stretched. Some of you more than 10 minutes, you stretched into it. Went to a long service, spent a week at a conference, whatever. Those are stretching things. So we've learned how to have activities in our life stretch us. But God wants us to learn how to stretch in faith. To believe out for what we couldn't believe for before. To believe God can do in our lives what we never dreamed He could do in our lives before. Do you follow me on this? It's one thing to let yourself be stretched to do something you've never done. It's another thing to determine I'm going to believe for something I've never believed for before. I'm determined never to be sick another day of my life. That's a stretch. I believe that I can sow this major seed and God will multiply it hundredfold. That's a major stretch. I'm going to go to church every time the doors are open. Major stretch. Rabasi, stretch. I'm going to go to all-night prayer. Stretch. Man, the stretch we thought that was going to be the first time we did that 6 years ago. Six and a half. We thought, my goodness, there's no way. We brought pillows and blankets. People bought pajamas. And that anointing hit us. and nobody got tired. We realized that if we would stretch towards God, He would release anointing on us to enable us to meet the needs of the stretch. Remember this morning? Well, I'll get ahead of myself. I can't go there yet. Yes, I can. Let's go to Matthew. Let me find which passage. See, what God was calling Abraham to do here was a stretch of his faith. And he says, and he said when he stretched out his arm, that's when the scapegoat appeared, right? Or the was it a goat or a lamb? Lamb. That's when that appeared. When Abraham stretched, God met the need. And he said, because you were willing to stretch all the way as far as you could possibly comprehend, you're willing to give it all, God says, I now recognize you withhold nothing from me. And in surely blessing, I will bless you, right? God stretched Abraham to the full extent possible, but he passed the test and became the father of our faith. Matthew chapter 14. And we mentioned this morning. Let's go to verse number 28 for the sake of time. And Peter answering Jesus and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. Remember this? Peter stepped out of the boat. How many know that was a stretch? That was accelerated training, as we said this morning. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, remember immediately? Look at this. Look how this works together. And I had not planned this, but I love how the word works together. And immediately, he stretched. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Little faith is not actually small amount of faith. It means that actual wording there in the Greek means faith of short duration. It takes a lot of faith to walk on water. But it didn't last very long. So it actually means in the Greek, you of short bursts of faith. And of course, God wants to get us into consecutive, continual faith. But here Peter stretched to get out of the boat. And as he began to sink, Jesus stretched to lift him up. We mentioned this morning. If you'll stretch, God will meet you where you stretch. Just like he inhabits the praise of his people, he stretches to meet the stretch of other people, of his people. And right now he wants to stretch us into this place of moving toward the glory, this place of internal change and external action that he can actually manifest himself among us. Thursday night was a night of stretching. We mentioned it being a immediate night, but it was a stretching night. Can I ask you to put yourself in my position for just a minute? You get a call 5 minutes before service, guest speaker coming in. And it says, Greta's in the process of a stroke. She can't move anything. But she signals she won't go to the hospital. She's coming to church. She wants you to pray for her. Now the natural mind, and I'll guarantee you most pastors will say, don't come here. I don't want that responsibility. Get her to the hospital. They're trained to deal with this. What if it doesn't work? Is this okay with you? I'm going through that thought process. But I know what the word says, and I've watched her walk it out before. Had it been some other people, I'd have said, get them to the hospital. Because right now they're in delusion. Because their faith isn't there. But I said, bring her. She comes to the door, we meet her at the door. I've got the church full of people. I meet her right over here, lay hands on her publicly. That's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, if it's you doing it, everybody watching. And then I involve our guest speaker in it and say, will you come and pray? Stretch. Take them off us. More stretch. Wheel her out. More stretch. Had I not been willing to stretch, I'd have said at each step, I said, you get to the hospital. I mean, if she called to get to the hospital, if she came anyway, I'd meet her right there and say, you get to the hospital now. Be blessed, Jesus. Now go. In my office, when, you know, she's showing some signs of motion and expression, the normal mindset would be, now get her to the hospital. We prayed. It was a stretch. It was a stretch for her. It was a stretch for me. It was a stretch for Mama Jean, because she's having to trust what, you know, that I'm hearing God, and I'm involving her in this thing now. It was a stretch for this church. But guess what? We stretched, and God met the stretch. Had we said no, we're not going to stretch into this, guess what? There would have been no step forward for God to meet us in faith that He could manifest the miracle that He did. And guess what? She's in service tonight, totally healed. Those are stretches. And God wants to take us as a body and individually into these stretches that are going to help us move to a place that God can meet us with the supernatural miracle power of God in whatever type of manifestation. Amen. But God needs you to stretch towards Him before He can stretch towards you. Back up to chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. And when He was departed thence, He went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse Him? And He said unto them, what man shall there among you be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then He said to the man, stretch. Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole as the other. The man had to make the effort to stretch for the healing power of God to be extended toward it to see the miracle take place. And we could go through virtually all the miracles of Jesus. And we could read about them, and they may not contain the word stretch, but they will have the action of stretch in them. How about the woman with the issue of blood? She stretched, she went where she wasn't allowed to go. Kept saying, if I can just but touch his hem, the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. How about the lepers that came and 10 lepers came, and he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was stretching. We see the stretch in many places the miracles take place. How about 4 men that were willing to rip up a roof to let the man down through there? That was a stretch. God meets the stretch. Are we willing to stretch? See, God, He told the Laodicean church, He said, you're neither hot nor cold. Because you're lukewarm, I've got to spew you out of my mouth. Right? God doesn't like one foot in, one foot out. Halfway participation. He's looking for all the way stretching into what He's made available and what He's declared. See, if we're baptized in the Spirit, our prayer life should be more than Shandai every other week. I got real excited. Borabaki! Oh yeah, I don't know what the interpretation was, but I felt so good when I said it. Your prayer life should be more than that. Right? Open heavens. Access through the veil. If we don't use it, that's lukewarm. Financial giving. tithing to the penny and not a penny more. And so bound by fear of lack that we can't ever break through financially. You can't move into the things of extreme blessing financial of God unless you're willing to stretch into it. Let it all go. Are you following me on this? God's looking for people of faith and genuine, how can I say, increase in faith always requires some level of stretch in your life. I remember when I first got saved. I knew nothing. 30 years old, knew nothing. Went to a service and God told me to put $20 in the offering. I'm going, do what? $20 wasn't even tithing. You know what tithing was. $20, but I heard it. Stretch me. Next day I went to work and on my desk was a wedding gift. 5 months late. Worth about $20. And I knew God was saying, hey, you give it, I'll get it back to you. God will take where you're at. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. He'll take you where you're at and call you to stretch a little further to develop you to the next place of carrying more anointing. And you've got to be willing to stretch. Now, we mentioned the final stretch in a race, right? What do runners do before they run? Stretch. Amen. Stretch everything out. Any athlete before he's going to go into some type of endeavor usually is going to stretch because you don't want to pull anything. You want it to be exercised, stretched out, ready for the activity. So God wants us even out to learn how to use our faith even when there's not a major demand. So you're stretched out and ready when there is. See, I tell people you need to learn how to believe God for healing now when you're not sick. Confess it now. Work it now when you're not sick. Because when you're sick, it's hard to work it. It's harder. Confess it into your life now, so when sickness comes, you just roll right over it. What are you doing? You're stretching before you're in the race. You're getting your body prepped, developed for what you're moving into. So God is a God of the stretch. I didn't look it up. I'm sure some of you could very quickly, but I don't know how many times, but the word stretch appears in Scripture a number of times, probably close to 100 times the word stretch appears. God is a stretching God. I can see people looking it up now. Amen. It's a race. Go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, have you got it? Now here we have God sent Moses to Egypt to set his people free, right? Go over to verse number 19, and God says, I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. God said, I'm going to stretch out my hand against Egypt. Wouldn't you like to see God stretch out his hand against the wicked now? The wicked in this nation? The wicked worldwide? It would be fine with me if the dictators of the world just dropped over dead. Wouldn't bother me a bit. Amen. I'm not cursing them. I'm just saying, if God wanted to do it, hey, wouldn't bother me. But here he says he's going to stretch out his hand against the king of Egypt. Amen. Which is a representation of a world leader. Go on over to chapter 6. I want to show you a progression. Now, who did God said would stretch out their hand? He stretched out his own, right? God said, I'll stretch out my hand against the king of Egypt. In chapter 6, in verse number 6, he says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." God's saying, I give you a promise, I'm going to bring you out. "And I will rid you of their bondage, and I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." Now who's doing the stretching in this verse? God, right? God said, I'll redeem you with a stretched out hand. I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm. God said, I'm getting totally involved in this. I'm going to stretch out and I'm going to deliver you from Egypt. I'm ready for the glory to deliver us from some things, right? Chapter 7. Verse 3, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with great, by great judgments." Now here he says, I'm going to bring my people out of Egypt, right? By my hand, I'm going to do it. God's saying, I'm going to do it. Verse 5, "And the Egyptians shall know that I, the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring forth out the children of Israel from among them." Do you see this? We'll go on down to verse 19. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, and that they may become blood." Here we see Aaron took his rod and stretched it out, and the waters became blood. Now who said they were going to stretch out their hand and their arm to deliver Israel? But who did the stretching? Aaron. We're going to see a pattern here. God says, I will stretch out my hand. But then he says, now you stretch out your hand. We are his hand and his arm he's going to stretch out. And nothing happens until we stretch for God to stretch. Now it is a stretch for us in faith to believe if we take certain actions, God's going to show up. Right? It's a stretch to believe in the midst of a stroke, if you come to church, God will heal you. We have challenges getting people into church when they're having, you know, a little bit of a cough. Oh, I'm sick. I can't make it to church. Well, you stretching giant, you. But it's a stretch to come in the midst of a stroke and believe God for healing. So our stretch is in believing God will show up if we stretch. God's stretch is believing we will stretch. There is so much supernatural miracle power available. Every person on earth could be walking pain-free, healed, prosperous, and at peace. There's enough anointing available. But only a certain number will stretch into it. God's challenge is believing we'll exercise faith for what he said is available. Amen. Our stretch is believing if we do step into it, he'll show up. Listen, for you to fast 30 or 40 days, you got to believe God's going to do something. Otherwise, it's not worth it. Fasting is not a fun weight loss program. You got to believe God's going to show up, that he said, if you'll fast, I will bless you. I will speak to you. When the bridegroom is gone, surely they will fast. It returns the voice of the bridegroom. You got to believe that. It's a stretch to believe if you'll pray in tongues for 3 to 5 hours, that God's going to strengthen you internally and give you revelation of the word and charge your spiritual batteries, right? It's a stretch. But guess what? You do it. God always shows up. Our job is to believe he'll stretch towards us. His He's working to believe we'll stretch toward Him. But everything requires moving out of a comfort zone into this place of fully moving toward Him, of standing on the Word. Chapter 8. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. God says, stretch. He stretched. What did God do? With a stretched out hand and a stretched out arm, He's bringing judgment upon it, on Egypt. Chapter 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast and all the dust of the earth. Every one of these plagues, for the most part, is requiring some type of stretch on Moses and Aaron's part. I mean, do you know by now the Pharaoh wants to kill them? Pharaoh wants them dead. But for some reason, he can't kill them. And then God says, go appear before Pharaoh again and tell him this. Do you know that's a stretch of faith? To go before the most powerful man on the planet, other than, you know, Moses himself probably, but you go in human governmental authority, and tell him that God's about to take you down. It would take a major step of faith to do that in America today. They would lock you up. Chapter 9. Verse 15. God says, for now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. Here God says again, I'm going to stretch out further. Chapter 9, verse 22. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch. Now he's talking to Moses. It was have Aaron do it. Now it's Moses doing it. Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his hand or his rod toward heaven. And boom, here came the results. Chapter 10. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up from the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land that day. And here came the locusts. Do you see this pattern? God started the whole thing off repeatedly saying, I'm going to stretch my hand against Egypt. But every step required that man stretch forth his hand. This ain't for me going to the Capitol Tuesday and getting involved. Potentially. I'm seeking God on it. I'm open. That's a stretch for me. Amen. Not to go to the Capitol Center many times, but I'm talking about potentially getting involved with following political stuff. But what if God needs spokesmen in the Capitol with some authority and anointing to release some stretch out activity? Whether blessing or, some other type of resistance. What if that's a necessity? This is part of the stretching process. Whatever, we're going to be obedient to whatever God says, right? So here we see all these 10 plagues take place. Finally, we know that God tells Israel, the Pharaoh tells Israel, you're free to go. They spoil the Egyptians, take all the wealth of the land, and they take off on their journey to the promised land. But what happened? Pharaoh changed his mind. You would think 10 plagues would be enough. But he changes his mind. And we come to the place where now Egypt is at the Red Sea. Go over to chapter 14. And let's go to verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. This is just an amazing narrative to me. Moses tells everyone, I mean, they're in fear of the Egyptians about to wipe them out. They're trapped. They've got the Egyptian army on one side and the Red Sea at the other side. And contrary to the movie I saw a piece of a while ago, it was more than waist deep. If you saw that movie, I just saw a piece of it and that was enough. They were crossing the Red Sea and it was waist deep. I might have missed part of it, I don't know. Anyway. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day, or today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now here Moses is saying, hey, stand still. Stop right here and watch God show up for you. But then God says an amazing statement. He makes an amazing remark. Verse 15, wherefore the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, God's saying, what do you expect me to do? What do you want me to do right now? Why are you pointing at me as if I'm going to be the one to do all of this? He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. He says, don't have them stop. Keep them moving forward. That means toward the water. But lift thou up the rod, thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of it. That movie today did not have dry land in it. I was thinking all the way through, there's no dry land there. They're walking through mush. God said, don't be waiting for me to move until you take the first stretch. He said, if you stretch, I'll take up the rest and I'll deliver you. So Moses stretched forth his rod across the sea and the waters parted and the children of Israel went over on dry land. And how many know later it flooded the Egyptian army? And not only that, the Red Sea, if it was the Red Sea, is a long way across. This is more than just a 2-minute trip. We're talking potentially an all-day or even days trip across the Red Sea. It's huge. Many have theorized they actually crossed a lake and they called it the Red Sea. We don't know. But it was more than just a little, you know, walk across Harrington Lake or something. It was a big sea. So Moses had to take the stretch before God showed up. In fact, look at verse 26. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians. Moses stretched forth his rod to part the waters and again to bring them back together. Do you see how God needs us to step out for him to move? And there's a whole bunch of people believing for the glory of God, but they're not doing any stretching toward it. This book on love that I'm writing talks about what it takes to go into the glory. The stretches, the development, the process. And it's not this free pass thing everybody has in mind. Oh, I just believe that God loves me and I just walk in the love of God. Oh, you don't move in the love of God without major stretches. Not the supernatural agape of God. Amen? There's a developmental process that requires us to stretch. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, they've already taken down Jericho. How many know that was a stretch? I mean, God says to take it down, just march around the city. The 7 day go around seven times and toot on trumpets. That's a stretch. But the walls fell flat. Then they came to the small town of Ai. They thought that's no big deal. We'll take it easily. And they went against it without seeking the Lord and got their tail feathers plucked. Several men got killed. So then Joshua goes to God and says, what do we do to take this city? In chapter 8, verse 18, it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. The ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. If we go on down, I believe, let's see here. Verse 25, and so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. God had Joshua keep stretched out the entire battle. Now, how many know that Moses holding his spear up in the air does not activate some miracle key that God's going to move? It was an action of faith he took as God directed, that God honored by showing up in power. It's vital that we learn how, when God gives us directives, to stretch into them by faith. And to stay in that mode of stretch, that mode of acting in faith, until we see the manifestations. Amen? I've got a whole other section to go to. I'm trying to decide if I have time or not. I think I want to save it for next week. Go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. If you'll believe it and speak it, God will show up with a stretched out arm on your behalf. But it says, you'll revive me. I believe to go into revival where we're targeting requires us trusting in the stretched out hand of God. It's going to require us to stretch, and we're going to have to believe that God will stretch and meet us where we're at. Those that live by faith, I mean, the just shall live by faith, live in a lifestyle of stretching out and trusting God to kiss them. Again, those years ago when they were going to kick my daughter out of school because we didn't have the money to pay the bills. Going to sell the car to pay the bill. God says, give the car away. Stretch. But guess what? We made the stretch and God showed up. Paid it exceeding abundantly above. Paid us three times the school bill. Plus another large amount came to the church. Faithful God. Faithful God. And God's raising up a revivalist bride that does not hesitate to stretch Psalm 138. I'm sorry, Psalm 143. Read it wrong. Remembered it wrong. Psalm 143. Verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thine hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Whenever you're under persecution, whenever it feels like every devil in hell has targeted you, we said this morning. We alluded to it. It's time to worship God. I will stretch out my hands toward you. I will open up myself and trust you for my deliverance. The way we mentioned it this morning is that when you're overwhelmed, God will show up and catch you. When you're sinking in the water, God will show up and catch you, right? When you feel like things aren't working or things are just beyond your ability to handle, worship God. He will stretch to meet you. Amen? And lift you out of that mire, make your feet like hinds feet, and cause you to walk in the high places. Acts chapter 4. Praise you, Lord God. Acts chapter 4. Here we see the disciples are undergoing persecution. They've already arrested Peter and John, threatened them. Verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." Let me pause right there for just a minute. They're praying, "God, stretch forth your hand." Could it possibly be they were aware of what the Old Testament said about stretching? Do you think maybe they read Exodus? They knew the story about God says, "You stretch and I'll stretch." So they're referring back to those occasions. They're talking about in this passage, remember the old times. Did we read that part? Or was it a verse before? Oh well. They are bringing to mind God stretching forth His hand when Moses would stretch out his rod or Aaron would stretch forth his rod. So they said, "Stretch forth your hand with healings and miracles at the name of Jesus." Now, who has to speak the name of Jesus? We do. They recognize unless they stretch to say the name of Jesus, nothing was going to happen. Do you know to use the name of Jesus in faith is one of the most stretching activities you can do? For example, all I know is give you stories that I've experienced. Are you following me? The ones I've heard. This would have been 1992, I believe, something like that. Patty and I were on a date. I've told this story many times. We were on a date. And we're driving. It's just getting close to dark. We're driving over off Woodhill and coming up to New Circle. So Woodhill? Thereby where Service Merchandise used to be, whatever. Codell Drive. Anyway, we're driving, and there's a Denny's. And stopped in front of us is a van with both doors open, stopped in the middle of the road. We're going, why is that van stopped? And we look over, and there's two guys surrounded by a gang of young guys, young adults. They're surrounded. And apparently says somebody to something, and they jumped out, and the whole gang surrounded them. Next thing you know, they jump on these two guys, start beating them to death. I mean, they've got them beating them silly, blood flying. And I'm sitting there like, what do I do? And I'd always said I would never watch somebody get beat up if I was there. I don't, no matter what took place. So I jerked the car to the side. I jumped out. Patty's going, what are you doing? I just started praying in tongues. And I prayed in tongues, and I know I had to be using the name of Jesus. I would run up there, and when my foot hit the curb, I mean, they're just like here to the couches away from me. They freaked and started running as quick as they could. I mean, and they left the two guys sitting there, and they take off running. And one of them hollers, I got a gun. I'm thinking it's going to be real hard to shoot it running that fast. It was going through my mind, you know. The two guys get up. They stagger up. I mean, a bloody mess. One's helping the other back to the van. They walk right beside me. I recognized one. I knew him. He put carpet down in my house. Didn't know him, but I recognized him. Walked right beside me. I start talking to him, and they're oblivious I'm there. They walk right by me, right beside me. I'm saying, you guys okay? Can I get in the van and go? And I'm sitting there by myself. The gang's going that way. They guys are going off, and I'm there, and Patty's in the car.
Gang, and he's getting out, and I'm like, what are you doing?
That's where I had a concealed carry too. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I was going to run up there and say in the name of Jesus. It takes faith to go into dangerous situations with only the name of Jesus, but you got to believe that it works. To position yourself for potential embarrassment or harm. When I ran up to Greta, I said, in the name of Jesus, let go of her. It takes a stretch that you believe there's power in the name. That's what the disciples were saying. We'll use the name. We believe you to stretch and meet it, just like you did with Moses in Egypt. See, we throw the name of Jesus out somewhat too frivolously. What, the church? Well, the name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus. There's power in the name. And we should be using the name, but believe it's really going to work. Believe there'll be a stretching, that you're stretching using it for impossible situations. In the name of Jesus, money, you come to me. In the name of Jesus, sickness, you go. See, if you say in the name of Jesus, I'm healed, and you run to the medicine cabinet before you've even tried to fight it, you really didn't believe that name had any stretching power with it in that area. Not trying to condemn anybody. You follow me? There's an action. A personal stretching goes with stretching into that name. I could not tell you how many times. Over the years, Patty and our accounts would be empty. I mean, probably red, but it hadn't fully been processed yet. We've never bounced a check. In my entire life, I've never bounced a check. I had the bank bounce one time, but it was their mistake. They forgot to process the deposit. And so they fixed that and refunded all the fees. We never bounced a check, but could have many times. And Patty would say, or I would say, and we'd say, you know, these bills are due. And we'd say, God supplies. Tithe, sow the seed, watch God come through. And I could not tell you how many times there would be miracle manifestation as we would speak the name and then stand. But we tried to do it ourselves, we'd end up in a mess. I'm sure you've had the same thing potentially, right? There's power in the name. Romans chapter 10. We'll cover two more really quickly just to get to this page. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, talking about God, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now here are people that won't stretch. God is addressing people of unbelief who won't stretch. He says, all day long have I shown myself strong. All day long have I shown them the miraculous. All day long have I healed. All day long have they witnessed my glory, and yet they wouldn't hearken. I believe stretching for the revivalist, for the Christian, was never meant to be optional. We're called to manifest, to grow into the image of Christ, which means including carrying His power. You don't carry His power without a stretch. You don't change like that without a stretch. It's commanded. So for us, as Christians, we must be willing to break out of comfort zones. Amen. Quit trying to take easy routes. Be willing to apply the Word of God fully in every area of our lives. Let me look at this other scripture, see if I want to go to it tonight or not. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll close with this. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Paul says to the church, we've not stretched beyond our authority to give instruction to you. To operate in divine order, both as a leader and as somebody under a divine authority, requires a stretch. We did the whole Divine Order conference back in November. We talked about you don't know if you're in divine order until it's tested. Amen? Because divine order will stretch you when your pastor tells you something you don't agree with, or he preaches something you don't like, gives you instruction you think he's missed it. And you've got to trust God that if you'll stay in divine order, God will cover you even if he misses it. Now there's a place you have to break off. You follow me? But everybody's going to miss it once in a while. Divine order stretch. You ready for this? When you stretch into divine order, you become a partaker of the anointings flowing through that order. Do you know why I operate in healing power? I'm under Apostle Callahan. I partner with him. I'm in divine order under him. He says, he gives me instruction. It's yes, sir. Which is a rarity, but if he gives me correction. In fact, I was speaking the other day and he brought up correction. He mentioned that I was correctable because he gave me some correction something like 10 years ago when I took it. That's the last thing he has to refer to that he had to give me correction on. But that's his example. Now you won't know what the correction was, wasn't it? I'll tell you. After a service, I just preached, I thought it was a very powerful service. But I preached the whole time like this. And he says, never put your hands in your pockets when you're preaching. As far as carry yourself like that. He says, it's unprofessional. I never heard that before. But if he said it, I'm doing it. So now I just keep all my pockets sewed shut. It's not even a... In fact, he says, I've watched you ever since that time. It's been 10 years ago at least. He says, you've never put your hands in your pockets again. So I'm not going to either. When you buy suits, they sew up the pockets. Don't even bother sewing them. Just no temptation. That was his example. But see, even that, well, I put my hands in my pockets if I want to. I want nothing to interfere with the anointing flowing from the head all the way through the body to my life. But it requires a stretch. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Father, we ask you to seal your word within us. We believe you're changing us from faith to faith and glory to glory. Have your will among us, and by the Spirit of God, direct us into the stretches you'd have us take. In Jesus' name, amen. I even believe tonight as I was preaching, God showed you some things you can stretch into. And hey, watch what he does. Amen.